We're in our second week on Strong Identity. This is a series that we've been repeating because we're covering certain sections. We have these 12 identities that we talk about quite often. And in these 12 identities, we have that top section, which is our primary identities, which we did a teaching on. You can go online and get that the first this year. We're going to be next in 2019. We'll be covering the functions, which are the priest and the unique part, soldier and light. What we're talking about now is we're calling this attitudes, these four attitudes of servant, steward, sheep, and student. And last week we talked about student, and that we're designed to have this attitude of a learner for all our life. And because, you know, what we're talking about in this place of identity tells us when we come to Christ, we become a new creation. We have a new identity. And this is really saying, well, explain that more. And the whole scripture talks about using these parallels for these things that we're talking about here to help us get a grasp of this is who you are now. Now live out in that. And so this whole thing of live out with the attitude of a learner, of a student. And then today we're going to be talking about live out as a steward of your life, not an owner. Now, I had a friend of mine that he was a pastor who didn't have any money, and he found this place that would give a poor pastor's places to stay. They had houses they purchased, and you would put your name in, and they would grant you a house to go have a vacation without having to pay for the place. And this is so they went to this nice little house that the people had there. And when they got there, it was under construction, and it was infested with lots of snakes. I mean, lots of snakes under the floor. And they got there, and his wife was deathly afraid of snakes, so it was just a bad deal all around. And so they called the owner of this place, and he said, just put them up in this other place. And so they went to this place, and the other place was nice. It was a cute little cottage. This place was up on the hill, and it was huge. It was gorgeous, and it had a stream, and it had deers in the lawn, and it had beautiful interiors. Well, come to find out, the owner said, just take them and send them to our house. And they were just not there. And so they didn't know this at first. They thought, wow, these people really love pastors. And so he calls me and says, David, you won't believe this place. I mean, he says, I was just watching Antiques Roadshow. There's only three of these hall trees, and that's one of them, you know. And the knives, they knew they were like $100 and $200 knives they're using in the kitchen, and had all this music, and had all this beauty, and these expensive carpeting. And they're like, and they didn't understand what was going on. And they were just given this thing, the steward. And they realized, I don't own this, but they're in this amazing place because they were stewarding it. And they were receiving from it, even though they didn't own it, right? That's what a steward is. It's someone who's been given tremendous riches to steward. And we get to bless others with that, but we also get to experience that ourselves. And the way they took care of this place is they were just in awe and wanting to make sure they did a great job of honoring the person who owned it. Now, as we look at stewardship, is we really struggle with stewardship because we have been trained the other way. Our flesh, our old nature, is an owner. We want to own things. You guys ever seen this with your being a steward and what's the word there? Mine, right? Didn't take long, right? Because you've felt it before. You can remember that as a kid, and you've watched it in your kids, or you've watched it in other people's kids. It doesn't take long to realize that this is a struggle. And the thing about it is, you know, when we think about this thing of let go, it's mine, we understand that, well, that's so childish. But quite honestly, the it's mine is really bigger. It really travels with us as adults. We just don't look as bad as we do on the playground. We don't. Our flesh tells us that it's ours. And we grab things and we grip things as owners. And when we do, just as destructive as it is when a child is shoving down their friend and then giving mine, it's that destructive for us. It doesn't bring life to us. And if you're a parent or you love kids or have been around kids and you care about them, you know, when you watch them at a spot where, you know, or if you had teenagers, and not our teenagers who go to Project Timothy aren't perfect at home and never do this, but, you know, a teenager, it's always this tough deal if you've ever had a teenager who doesn't really appreciate, I've never had one of those, but I've heard of people who've had these teenagers, and they say, get out of my room and get out of my stuff, and you think, that's not your stuff. I got that stuff for you, and this is not your room because you're not paying the bills. But you don't say that because you're a spiritual person. You understand this kind of mind attitude. And if you have your own kids and you watch kids and they're at this spot where they grab this stuff and they hang on to it and they shove down their sibling and grab and overpower them. Where you have a child that has no gratitude for anything they have and they feel entitled to everything they have, or you give them something that you've really thought through and knew they'd love and they destroy it out of anger, or just because they don't care and they don't appreciate the things that they have. You know, when you have a kid who maybe is stronger than other kids and you find out he's using that strength to bully others, or they're smarter than others and they're using that to belittle others, or they're wealthier than others and they're saying, I have stuff that you don't have, to others. It just, as a parent, it just breaks your heart. It makes you mad too, right? But it breaks your heart after you get mad for a while. After you get ticked off, you get sad. Because what you understand is this mine, it's my attitude, it's going to hurt that child tremendously. It's going to keep them from being grateful and enjoying the beauty around them. It's going to keep them from gratitude. It's going to keep them from amazement of what they have. It's going to keep them from sharing with other people and experiencing. It's going to hurt the relationships around them, right? So they're not going to be able to find contentment. They're not going to do well with their brothers and sisters or their friends. But see, as adults, we are still taught the mine concept. I mean, it's mine. In fact, that's how we describe who's grown up, who's self-sufficient, because they are, you know, our goal, strangely, our goal as Americans really would be to be independently wealthy. You know, you understand what those two words mean? Is that you're independent of anybody else, and you have enough of your stuff that you don't have to care about anybody else. I mean, or you don't have to worry about anything else. And the idea would be that somehow ownership, it's even built into us. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with ownership. I'm saying the way our attitude is that somehow we use our time, our energy, our gifts, our talents to acquire things for us. And then we decide what to do with them after that is not the attitude that is a follower of Jesus. It's kind of radical, you know. And as you think about it, Jesus, when he came on the scene, what he made clear was that, no, I own everything. He made clear, this is a great verse to remember. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, that pretty includes most anything, belongs to the Lord. Just live by that verse and your life will change. Understanding, when Jesus came on the scene, he understood his Father was the master. And his father loved the children. He loved this earth and he loved this creation. And that true wealth didn't mean becoming independent. It meant becoming dependent upon his Father. And true wealth meant that you had all that God gave you, but you never owned it. Right? That was what he preached. He lived in the riches of his Father in dependency, and that's what changed his life. He was a steward. He wasn't an owner. And stewardship is this interesting concept. It really, when you would, back in, we're not a term we use a lot today, but back in that day, it would have been the household manager, a steward, a guardian. It would be someone who you just basically give over the keys, the checkbook, and sometimes the children to, right? Like, it's an empowerment. It's not like watching over. It's entrusting that person with all these riches and saying, you know what I want, and the good steward is doing what the master wants. And as they thought about this, this is what they're speaking of. Now, when we talk about all the earth, that includes quite a bit and all its inhabitants. Now, I can't list them all today. There's a lot on the earth right now. But we're going to categorize a few. There's nature. There is the earth physically around us, the beauty of the nature around us. There's the people on the earth. And then there's every part of us. And then there's all the things that we possess. Next week, we're going to talk about that last one more clearly of how do we take what we've been given and possess, and how do we do that in a way that is we see that as steward of how we live with what we have. This week, we're going to cover those first three, at least to some degree. But a great story that helps us in getting a hold of what we mean by an entrusted steward is a parable that Jesus told about a worldly steward and a worldly master, right? And how that works. And a parable, again, is comparing something that you would know in the realm of life on earth, the way it works in this world, and saying, it's like that, but towards God. And you pick up these particular things about the parable to say, oh, that helps me understand God spiritually by this natural thing. And again, it will be like the man who's going on the journey, who called his servants to and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. The man who had 2 bags of gold came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown or gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid the gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, you would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, and then they'll have more in abundance, and they will have an abundance. And those who do not have, even what they have, will be taken away, and throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Tough ending. But as you look at this, you can kind of, these key phrases, you show this thing that happened, that there's these servants, and the first one you see in 23 and 25, they've come back and they've taken what God has given them, both 2 bags and 5 bags, and they've invested that, and they've got return on it, and they were brought into the master's happiness. He was just joyful. They received and they shared in that. And the other person says, no, I'm afraid. And they took what they had been given and tried to play it safe and just buried it. And the result was pretty severe. Right? He was not happy at all. And it's really strange because in some ways you could understand if this, like, I went out and I spent it on myself, I blew it. But no, he just hid it. So this understanding, it's really a parable. When you look at a parable, you have to understand a parable is not an allegory. You understand the difference? A parable, when you read a parable, you can't take every angle and say, oh, well, this, you know, Jesus was represented by the shrewd, you know, this and that, and this means this and that. It really means that there's a couple or one primary point that you get out of a parable. It's to kind of lock in one point. And so as you look at this, the parable's primary point is this. God, in paralleling this master, is God has entrusted you with a lot, more than you can imagine, and he wants you to take it, what is given to you, and invest it in a way that pleases him, And when you do, whatever has been entrusted to you, you will be blessed by the return. All right? Whatever, no matter what it is you've been entrusted, whatever amount, if you invest it in the things, in the way that the master wants you to invest it, you will not only have the return, you also have the pleasure of the master, and you'll be brought in and share in that. And of course, there's a clear kind of sobering warning is when you take what God has given you and do nothing with it, it's not just neutral. It displeases God, right? It cuts you off from what God has for you. And so understanding that, there's this kind of, if you don't get this out of it, you need to be investing whatever God has given you in the right places, right? But the understanding is, from the very beginning, is it's not yours, it's the master's. And that's why it's so important. It's not just your life. Your life is his life. And what you have and what you've been given are to glorify him. Now, understanding this, it's, you know, when you think about investment and you try to translate that, this place of taking, this moment in which they had this gold, which is a heck of a lot, by the way. This is usually, some people call this the parable of talents. Talents are actually weights of measurements. There's always a question for how much it is. Is it gold or silver? But it's a lot. So they just put bags of gold, which is a pretty good translation. It's a lot. A bag of gold is a lot. And so you have this huge amount. And in that spot, you have to decide, I have all this. It's not mine. What would the master want me to do with it? And what the two servants understood right away was quickly is to go and invest it wherever they could in the way that the master would want them to invest it. He understood that, right? The third servant didn't understand that. And he buried it and said, he hid it and said, I'm just going to just keep what I have. So what does it mean to invest? When I say the word invest, as we talk about this place as far as this of a steward, it's this place in which that you're deciding to take whatever God has given you and give it invested in what he would want it to be invested in, and to take and invest it into the things that he cares about the most, right? And so what has he given us? Everything. In other words, we are stewards of all that we have in front of us. We are stewards in every way, not just in the things we have, but our very who we are is God's. You understand that? And whatever God has given us, he wants us to use to advance his kingdom. He wants us to use it to move ahead and invest in the things that he cares about. And that's what the return he's looking for. Now, so one, you look at this whole thing of all the earth and everything in it. It starts out with the earth, right? The earth and God's nature and his beauty is his creation. And it's really important. If you use that illustration of my pastor friend, it would have been a really heartbreaking situation if they tore up that house, right, and destroyed everything, or didn't pay attention to it, or didn't take care of it, or left the water on, or you know what? Yeah, it's because that is the environment that person who owned the house, they wanted them to enjoy that environment. But to enjoy that, they need to take care of that environment, right? So imagine this. If you think about the earth and thinking, God, it's his beauty out there, right? So, you know, us Americans, we have a little bit of a challenge on this thing of nature. And what I want to say off really clearly is environmental issues and taking care of our planet is not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. It's that we have been entrusted, and the people should be stepping up the most to make sure that we don't destroy the creation God has given us, should be the Christians, right? And it's a strange place we've gotten to in the place of obviously somehow prioritizing that over people and in eternity and all that stuff. But the reality of it is, it's like it's God's house he's given us to live in. It's our plant that we live in. And so we should be concerned that, you know, and I'm talking to myself here, that every American throws away 7 pounds of trash a day. That's a pretty wild statistic, right? Like, that's probably not great stewardship, right? And I'm not saying, I'm talking to myself here. I'm just saying is these are things we have to think about as Christians. Like, what should we do? It is, and here's why. Like, in the Amazon rainforest, how it's lost, 17% has been lost over 15 years. Ecologically, that is really hurting people. That's why it's important to pay attention to that. In China, because of their often out of greed in the factories, they had this huge, I don't remember back in 2007 how their pollution went to such a high level. They've taken studies now that over 760,000 people had premature deaths, many of them babies, because of that. Right? So the reason God cares about the planet, he cares about the people on the planet, right? And to understand that when we have the mine attitude, as American as that is, and we don't understand that we're stewards of that, it's destructive, and quite honestly, it's most destructive to the most poor on our planet. It's where it hurts the most, of clean water and all the different things that come from that. So that's part of it. Now, that's a whole sermon in itself, which I don't have time to do. I do have a book you might want to read if you're interested in that, understanding that there is a kingdom theology on how we take care of our planet. This is by Tri Robinson, a Vineyard pastor. And it's a great biblical book of understanding the kingdom lens of how we look at the world and helping. And Tri's a great, great guy. And but it's amazing the flack he got for writing this book. It's shocking, actually. So, but that's one you can look at a little bit further. So that's one thing. But the other thing I'd say is that what you see through Scripture the most is what we have on this planet and he owns is all those people that he gave his life for, that he created. And in that spot is his focal point. And what he wants us to do is to understand that the way that God looks at people, if we're going to be good stewards, we have to look at people the same way. Understand? And understanding that we have all these people on this earth, and what God says, he says, you know, what you have to make sure is that you love every person. And you go, how much? Oh, just as I loved you, no more than that. How much do I have to forgive? No, just as much as I forgave you. I mean, he doesn't let off on this. He says, if you love me, you got to love them. In other words, and that means that you invest what you have in people because God loves people. And this is something that, let's use the illustration that you give over your house to somebody with your kids to take care of them all, and you give them the checkbook, and you give them all the stuff, and you come back, and they spent some money kind of crazily that you wish they wouldn't have, and the house is kind of trash, you're not going to be very happy because they didn't steward your house well. You look, and one of your nice vases is stuck out in the mud in the rain, right? You go, I'm ticked, but the kids are doing great. A little better, right? But if you come home, and the house looks perfect, and you go outside and your kid's stuck in the mud, and he's been left outside in the rain and not taken care of, not fed, not cared about, you go, no way, right? Because why? Because that's your kid. Well, he's kind of a brat. I put him, no, it didn't matter. He's your kid. I don't know how many times I've been doing something, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but you've been a jerk to somebody, and you just have such a harsh feeling about this person, you're just kind of in your mind, you're putting them in this category, and then all of a sudden you have this flooding thought from God's Holy Spirit saying, that's my kid who I love, and it breaks my heart. It's like watching a little kid, this bigger bully, and shove down another kid or condemning a kid. It's like, you can't do that, right? And so understanding stewardship is really tied to the place of investing in what God cares about, and what God cares about is people. Now, but so we have people that we are to steward in the way God wants us to, as strange as that sounds. All right? What do we do that with? We do this. God owns everything, and he's given us every part of ourselves. What you have been given, we're going to talk about the all we possess next week, but every part of yourself is this, is your mind, your physical body, your emotions, your abilities, your skills, your creativity, your personality, you know, all that. I mean, you have to understand that you need to be taking all those things that you've been given, all your makeup, all your mind, and realizing your mind is not just your own. You know what I'm saying? That's why he talks about renewing your mind. Your little secret thought life is not just yourself. You either are a good steward with what you do with your mind, and are you break God's heart? Because he's given you that mind for good stuff. You know, physical body, that you use it in a way that honors him, and the way you work and your sexuality and all the places that your physical body's involved is, are you a steward? Are you my body's mine, I do what I want with my body. The way we take care of it. How we use our emotions that God has given us, and he's given us those emotions for good. How he's given our abilities and our skills, our creativity, our personalities. I mean, you are so uniquely different than the person sitting next to you. You introverted stewards have to introvert for the glory of God in the way you're doing life, right? In your introverted way, you do it. And as extroverts, we have to do it in a way, a different way. And what's in between? But God has uniquely made you in particular ways. And whatever he's given you, he wants you to take that and not call it your own, but to understand it's something that you've been entrusted with. And you're going to honor God in the way you use it and how you invest it and what you do with it. You know, and then we've been given this spot of us. We've been given the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And we have this unique gifting that comes out of that. And so this is a great verse in 1 Peter. It says, talking about the way we're to live, it says, offering hospitality to one another without grumbling, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Not to us, but to him, by taking whatever God has given us and using it to his glory. If we use our words, a good way of looking at stewardship is time, energy, and money. Using all those things and all your gifting to the place that invests in what God cares about, others, and glorifying him. And so as we look at that, is we start understanding that this spot of all of us is a lot, right? What God has given us. And then we have this place of one mind, one emotion, and then we have positions. People here you have different places you have a role in. You have a role in your neighborhood. You have a role in your business. Some of you are owners of business. Some of you are managers of business. Some of you are working with business in businesses. But all of you have a role within that workplace. Work as if serving God and understanding that your work is designed to be used in a way that brings God glory and it benefits people. In this spot of we're a citizen of the United States. Use your citizenship for the glory of God, right? We have lots of privileges. Use those privileges for the glorification of God and the goodness and the benefit of people. You have a role in your family. You have a role as parents, as PTA presidents or whatever. You know, whatever your role is, understand that's what you're there to steward. It's a role that's been given to you. So you have to steward that role in the way God would want you to. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if serving the Lord. And then we see this other place of just kind of want to close with just kind of describing what a steward is to kind of flesh this out a little bit and kind of what this attitude would look like. And some of this will be repeated of what I said, but I just want to kind of summarize some of it. A good steward understands that they are not owners. I know I've been saying that over and over. Do you understand the freedom when you're not an owner? When you realize you have all these riches at your disposal that you can utilize, that you always will be supplied, but you don't have to own anything? It is a freedom that only God can give us, right? When we have an attitude trusting God to give us what we need and not having to come out and think that we find our security by what we own. Understanding that we've been given the riches of God, but and all these amazing gifts, and we live in gratitude, and we live in dependency, and yet, God, we get to experience all the riches but not have to own it. It's a huge, just understand that you don't own anything. If you take nothing away from this teaching other than that, it'll transform your life. Second is, a good steward is humbled and grateful and amazed. I kept wanting to put more adjectives in there. For all they have been entrusted with. I'm telling you, when you understand what God has given you and entrusted you with, it's crazy. It's bags of gold. It's like, you're serious? You want to entrust me with this? You know, and the people in my life, the people around me, yeah, I want to entrust you with that. And it's so humbling. And I remember, you know, as a Christian, getting to a grasp of this, and I remember after I became a Christian, I was thinking, okay, I was so scared to step out. I was afraid I was going to ruin someone's life. You guys, newer Christians like that. I don't want to say something. I'll probably lead him down the wrong road. I know nothing about Jesus, right? And so, but I could tell he was telling me, I want you to give it away. But I didn't have much to give away. So I remember one time I was going to help this one person come to know Jesus. So I got all ready, and I started talking to him and trying to keep it all polished into my head. And they were just like glaring over. Like they're like, oh boy, this isn't working. I'm trying to give this stuff away. And I finally realized, this isn't what I have, because I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. What I do have is, wow, this is what happened to me with Jesus. I don't know what to tell you, but this. And I just started rambling and telling my story. And I remember thinking, I can't believe it. It invested in them, and they started connecting to Jesus. And I thought, this is crazy that I would be entrusted with something that could do this, right? And to this day, when I'm interacting with somebody, and I'm just trying to care about them, and somehow God comes in and does something between him and them because of me just sharing what I have at that moment or my time or my energy, and I give it to it as not for me but to God, and I do that, this amazing stuff starts happening with people around me, and I'm never like, wow, I'm cool. I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I can't believe that I get to do this stuff, you know? That God has given me his gifts and his Holy Spirit, and he wants me to use this in the way that honors him. It's amazing. A good steward knows pleasing God with all they are and possess is their purpose in life. Being a steward is like not like the step to something better. It is the best. It is having the best. It is a place you can't believe that you have this place of actually being entrusted with all this and joining in with God on his mission and playing this role with him having all the resources, and we get to participate in it. And the other thing is a good steward knows God's priorities and desires and invests in those things. People say, you know, how do I follow Jesus? You start stewarding whatever's in front of you, and you try to look in the Bible, and you say, okay, how do you say to love people? How do I love the poor, and how do I do this, and what do I do? And you start taking what you have, whatever it is, little or great, and you begin saying, I'm not going to hang on to it anymore. I'm not going to bury it anymore. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to actually take what I have and love people with it, right? I'm going to invest it. And then as you're faithful and little, he'll give you more. And give you more. But it becomes the priority because you start understanding what God wants. And you begin being able to participate. And the more you get that, the more it blesses you because when you do that, you share in it. A good steward understands it isn't about how much they are stewarding, but about faithfully stewarding what you have. This is a big one. Highlight this one if you're highlighting nothing else. God has what you have right now with you. The people you're around, what he's done in you so far, what you know so far, in all your brokenness, you have these things that God's doing. And you know other gifts from God, the way God's made you. And to understand that you can just start taking everything that you have and the places you have influence and begin quit gripping and trying to hold all these things for you, but take whatever you have and try to give it away to other people. To try to invest what you have in the people that God loves for the sake of God with him as your master. A good steward isn't controlled by fear, but boldly and generously invests in the right things. In this parable, if you're literally listening to it, there's this tension of like, I kind of get the guy with it put in the ground, right? Like, what if they would have messed up, right? And understand this parable is saying is, it's not about that. It's about trusting and investing in what you should invest in. And we don't know where the parable would go if they tried to invest and it didn't go right. We don't understand that. But what we can see in this parable is, do not say, I don't know what to do, so I won't do anything. Take whatever God has given you, and God is this crazy God who loves us to be extremely generous in giving things away. I've never worried about God saying, David, you were just too generous. I'm going to have to, you know, count you down at Judgment Day because you're just generous. I think you're just too generous. I don't have to worry about that, right? I have to worry about this, right? And what he's saying is, get used to this, but do it not for you or not to get pleasure back from other people or not to get recognition, but because to God, you know this is what he cares about, so I'm going to invest in that. And then a good steward knows God loves them and shares all he has with them. The thing about God is like he wants us to enjoy all he's given us. It is for others, but we don't even discover that's the joy in those things until we start giving them away, and then we begin experiencing them. He loves to care about us in these things. So just imagine if we could just keep moving in this direction as a body of Christ, where we quit hanging on to things and we kick taking those things and trying to get our identity established by those things we own or we have. And we get to the point to know that we don't own anything. And we start having this freedom to trust God in a way that we can begin giving our time and our energy away in the way he does it and as he directs us. And in the middle of it, we get to enjoy all that God has given us. It's amazing. So here's a good challenge for you. This is a great verse that we read, I think, to memorize. It's so filled with truth that just kind of, it's one of those kind of truth verses just rattle you. So as you're going around, if you memorize this, anything you look at, you can say, oh, you own that too. That is part of you too. So the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belongs to the Lord. That's the guy who cuts you off in traffic. He belongs to the Lord, right? That car belongs to the Lord. That house belongs to the Lord. Those giftings you have prophetically, those giftings you have, they belong to the Lord. Your personality, the way he's designed you, he gave you those things. Your abilities, your wise, your wisdom, your good brains, you know, your good looks, they belong to the Lord. Use your good looks for the love of Jesus, all right? If you're not good looking, use that for the glory of God, right? Yeah, right. I don't know who said that, but I don't want to say amen back to that. All right. So, and then ask God, you know, is there things he has entrusted to you that you are gripping as your own? That's a good question to be asking God during this week. And or maybe there's things that God has given you that you know he's given you, but you're burying them and you're not stepping out in them and living out who God's made you to be. Ask God to show you how to use all you are and all you have to glorify him and to benefit others. That's a great prayer. And would you stand?